Şoşulmaza Kulevum tabas Timmelas Ummesala Şoşulmaza Şoşulmaza Kulevum tabas.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's weekly Yap podcast. That is the Yes And podcast. I'm your host Travis Thomas. So excited about episode 14, which happens to show up here on Christmas week. So for those of you who are traveling or have already arrived, whatever you're doing this holiday season, whatever you are celebrating this holiday season, a happy holidays to you. For those of you celebrating Christmas, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah for others, Kwanzaa, whatever your tradition, whatever your belief, happy holidays to all of you. For you Seinfeld fans, happy Festivus, which we all know is for the rest of us. So just really excited, episode 14, and I'm in North Carolina right now with family celebrating the holidays. But last week, I was sitting and thinking about what would the perfect podcast be for Christmas week, and really wanting something that had a lot of soul and a lot of substance, which hopefully you guys are finding is kind of a consistency with the podcast from week to week, is finding people, individual stories that have a lot of soul and substance, who are living their yes and, who are living authentically, and trying to just make a difference, follow their passion, live with purpose, and saying yes and to their authenticity, and saying yes and to every difficulty that shows up along the way. So today's featured interview is no different. Now, I was sitting at home thinking about, who's that person going to be? And I was like, you know what? I had this moment of calm. I had this moment of peace. And last week, we talked about that idea of letting it go. And so I sat there and I thought, I just need to let this go. I need to let it go. And the perfect person is going to present themselves to me. I'm going to trust that. And I get an email a little bit later from a dear, dear, wonderful, amazing, awesome friend of mine. Her name is Janessa Gans Wilder. She is the creator of the Euphrates Institute. And I'm like, no way, Janessa is the perfect person. I sent her an email. I'm like, Janessa, can you do a podcast tomorrow? Because I was getting ready to hit the road. And she goes, can you do the podcast right now? So I said, give me 15 minutes. So I got the call set up. We jumped on the call. We did the interview. And I'm just so excited to share this interview with all of you, not only because she created the Euphrates Institute, which is all about peace in the Middle East. Can you think of a bigger task that you'd want to take on than peace in the Middle East? But besides that, this coming Thursday, Christmas Eve, Thursday, December 24th, CBS is having a special at 11:35 p.m. Eastern Time. So no matter where you are, you do the time zone math. But 11:35 on the East Coast, CBS and the United Religions Initiative, they're airing a show called May Peace Prevail on Earth, an interfaith Christmas special. And Euphrates is featured in the program. Janessa is featured in the program. So again, this is taking place Christmas Eve, 11:35 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS, or you can stream it at uri.org/CBS. Now, Janessa is amazing. I'll let her get into her interview and tell you her background. But she worked for the CSI, not the crime scene investigators. She worked for the CIA, a little bit of a bigger deal. She worked for the CIA right after 9/11. I'll let her get into that with you. And then the inspiration for creating Euphrates Institute. Janessa is just amazing. I went to college with her. She is a soul sister of mine. And I can't think of a better person for this week's Weekly Yap. So please enjoy this interview with Janessa Gans Wilder. And welcome everyone to this week's Weekly Yap Yes And podcast. And I'm just super excited. I was thinking about I need a powerful podcast that really sort of kind of has a Christmas theme to it. And I was hit with an email earlier today by a good friend of mine, and I can't think of a better person and a better organization and a better cause to actually get a chance to talk to about
and that there's an event coming up on Christmas Eve. But Janessa Gans Wilder is our guest today. She is the founder of the Euphrates Institute. Janessa and I have been friends for a very long time, including college, and I can't think of a better person and better work that's going on in the world right now. So, Janessa, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Travis. And, you know, it's interesting. I've even been, you know, to think about this show on Christmas Eve because I've been in Bethlehem so many times where it all started. So, and the program's going to be focused on Middle East and Bethlehem. And so, anyway, it's all coming full circle.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so before we get to the program, I want to give everyone a little bit of context, Janessa, to what the Euphrates Institute is all about and sort of the inspiration behind it. And so before we get to the inspiration, well, I guess it's actually kind of all sort of one of the same. So can you give everyone what is the Euphrates Institute?
Yeah, our vision is a world at peace beginning with the Middle East. And I can't think of a more important time for that message, frankly, than right now. And I really got my start in Middle East issues after 9/11. I was working for the CIA at the time as a CIA officer and had nothing to do with the Middle East, wasn't interested in the Middle East. And then, boom, 9/11 happened, and it really just woke me up to what was going on in that part of the world and how it directly impacts where we are now. You know, we think, oh, it's happening so far away. Well, it's happening right here at home, and it just affects everything we do, from the gas we put in our car to the birthplace of the major monotheistic faiths, to the security issues, terrorism, war. I realized I've got to be more involved. And I signed up for a 90-day assignment in Iraq, which turned into almost 2 years. And being there on the ground and seeing it for myself and meeting the people and realizing how little Americans really understood what was going on there and how important everything that was going on there was back home. I returned and resigned from the CIA and made it my mission to have to help Americans be more informed about the Middle East, but then also inspired about how can we make a difference? How can we be part of solutions for peace? How can we be part of democracy building? How do we support moderates over there and not just focus so much on extremists in the region? I really saw that there was such an avenue and such an opportunity missed for the average everyday American who does want to be involved in a grassroots and level and be really engaged. And so that's what we do. I lead trips over there. We have local chapters all across the U.S. and Europe, and even one in India and South America and the Middle East. And we write articles. We just do everything we can to inform the public and get them engaged as much as possible.
That's great. Now, so Janessa, you're with the CIA at that time, and so you find yourself over there for 2 years. You're sort of right in the heart of kind of where all the action
literally
is, where all the conflict is. And so, for you finding yourself in that situation, what was that like? I mean, kind of take us in there with you for a second to sort of a day-to-day lifestyle. What was that like?
Boy, it really ranged the gamut too. I had a desk and an office, and sometimes you'd be in the weeds with a project I can't believe my coworker did this. And then I can remember so distinctly that I'd be in the middle of something and then a bomb would hit, you know, or a mortar would land close to us and everything would shake, and sometimes the windows, you know, got blasted through, and you just sit there. And I remember having this thought, I'm breathing. I'm alive. I'm okay. Everything is fine. You know, it just really brings you back to the essence of what's going on. I'm safe. Everything's okay. Okay, I'm so grateful for this moment. Here I am. You know, it makes you focus on what is critical and what is important. And in that way, it was so different, you know, your everyday life there to just being back here at home. A really critical moment for me that was really the starting point for Euphrates, actually, was I just spent 10 days in Fallujah. And, you know, I think we've all heard of Fallujah. That was where those big battles were going on with the Marines on the ground and rooting out Al-Qaeda at the time and the extremists. And I was the only civilian woman on base there during the first major battle. And it was just you know, you're in on the outskirts of a war zone. I mean, we had mortars falling all the time. We were constantly having to get up at night and go to the bomb shelter, and I was wearing my body armor at night, and it was just a really intense time. And then a few days later, I was decompressing at a special forces base that was located right along the Euphrates River. And one morning, I went out there just to collect my thoughts and have some quiet time, and I was sitting by the river, and I was just soaking in how different it was. You know, the water was calmly gliding along, and the grasses were swaying, and it was so quiet. You could hear a pin drop, and so beautiful and peaceful. And I'm just staring at this river thinking, oh my gosh, this river flows a few miles down right in the middle of Fallujah. It's just going on right in the middle of the war zone. And you couldn't have two more different pictures, you know? And the thought that came to me was, which of these will you choose? And they're happening in the same space, the war zone with the bombs and the peaceful river. And my thought was immediately, I choose the river. I choose this peace that's going on, flowing through the middle of Fallujah, untouched. You know, no matter how many bombs go off around it, it's not going to change the trajectory and the power of that river flowing through. And it just so struck me that I had a choice. And I'd been so blinded by, you know, fighting against the enemy, being part of the war effort, just all the, you know, the bombs and death and destruction can be really overwhelming and distracting. And I hadn't even noticed or taken in this peace that was right there. And so that changed everything for me. I went back and said, I don't want to be an insurgency analyst anymore. I want to do something to build the country. I want to be part of something positive. And I changed my job completely to then working with political parties to prepare for the first ever democratic elections in Iraq, and started working side by side with Iraqis versus having been across the table and, you know, fighting against them. And it really laid the groundwork for everything I've done with Euphrates since.
Janessa, now so many people, it seems like they come out, whether they're coming out of the military or they're coming out of government work, and especially when you're talking about the Middle East, there's such a feeling, it seems, well, at least our national narrative seems to be such a story of cynicism, of hopelessness and helplessness. So what is it about you that you come out of that experience and you're actually filled with sort of hope and inspiration?
Oh man, it was the people. You know, I don't know how you could interact with people like that and not come away inspired. I mean, they were sacrificing everything to improve their country. And, you know, a lot of them had lost family members, and they're just, their hearts were so in it. And I just connected with them on a heart level, really. And that's what transformed me. I couldn't see them as the enemy any longer once I'd made that connection with them as a human being, and just to see how much they wanted progress, how much humanity they were expressing. And I just wanted more people to experience that. I think we just see them as these faceless, you know, turbaned or whatever people on the news, and we don't see them as people. We don't get to know them. We don't have the chance to, you know, not many people have traveled over there. And that's why I try to, you know, that's why we laid trips to the region. I want people as much as possible to have a human connection point to the Middle East, because that just brings it alive and it gives context to what you're seeing on the news and it gives hope. And I also think that people have a sense of hopelessness because we don't realize what incredible visionaries and what progress is being made at the grassroots level. That's a picture that the media does not show us. So of course we feel a sense of hopelessness because there's no way for us to know this side of the story. And that's what we're trying to do with Euphrates, is let's show the side of the story so we're not just mesmerized by the bad stuff going on and, you know, we're floundering in that sense of helplessness, but we're part of something positive and we can be engaged with the other side. You know, not every one of us is going to go fight terrorists, but we can all be engaged in supporting the moderates and building those bridges with the moderates and strengthening them and amplifying their voices and building support for them. So that's really what we're trying to do. And I'm I'm amazed it's not more reported because there's so much going on. And, you know, to me, the Middle East is a big story of hope. And I often think I want, like, who's the Euphrates for the environment? Because when it comes to climate change environment, that's where I feel a great sense of helplessness and I don't know what to do and I want to be a part of, you know, making the change. And people tell me that there's hope and how, you know, I want that voice, but I don't feel that ever on the Middle East because I'm involved in all the good things that are going on. You know, so many solutions already in place. We just don't know about them.
So the work with Euphrates is really happening on the grassroots level. It's taking people, it's taking Americans, it's taking people from the West over, and having those real life conversations with everyday Middle Easterners and having being able to kind of see that and experience it firsthand. So from your perspective, what are we not, especially for being in the United States, what is it that we are not seeing or hearing on an everyday basis that you see and experience when you're over there that you really just want to share with the West?
Well, I'll give you our most recent example. So, yes, you said it exactly right. We're, as much as possible, we're trying to shine a spotlight on the efforts already going on so that we get these visionaries and groups a wider base of support and that we also help Americans feel less hopeless and see how they can be directly involved in helping. So our most recent example that we just highlighted this fall was a young Iraqi girl who at 17 years old, and she was a pianist living in Baghdad, and all of her music teachers had fled the country and the music school had been ransacked and looted. And, you know, and so she wanted to figure out how to take more music lessons, and her peers wanted to be involved in music. And she thought, what if 17, you know, she's a young girl, what if I started the only and first National Youth Orchestra of Iraq in order to bring my fellow musicians together and we could bring in instructors and get music lessons and, you know, perform together as an orchestra. She had no idea how to do this. She had no money. She had no resources or background in this. And she did it. And she brought together over 60 youth, Sunni, Shia, Kurdish, Christian, from all over the country. You know, no politician in Iraq has united young people from every religion and sect, but she does it. And for years, now this is in 2009, they got started. They have, they've grown together as an orchestra. They've performed in the Middle East. They've performed all over Europe to sold out performances at the top theater, you know, orchestra halls. And how, and you know, look at the example, these kids now coming together have learned each other's languages. They've learned that Sunni and Shia, it makes no difference. We're all Iraqi. They've made beautiful music together. They've inspired audiences worldwide. They've transformed themselves. I mean, to me, here's ISIS recruiting young people from all over the country to terrorize and, you know, enslave people and divide. And here she is recruiting young people from all over the country to unite and to make beautiful music together and to be in harmony with one another. She is the anti-ISIS to me. You know, she's what she's doing is the antidote. And we don't, and she gets no funding from the U.S. government. They're struggling, you know, to continue because of lack of support. No one in the U.S. has ever, you know, everyone's heard of ISIS. No one has heard of Zuhal Sultan, who created this orchestra. And so whatever I can do. And so the orchestra, because of ISIS, had disbanded. And we put together a nationwide speaking tour for her this fall. And she was on NPR. She spoke at the UN on the International Day of Peace in D.C., met with State Department. You know, because of our shining a spotlight on what she's doing, she's now re-energized to continue the orchestra. She's, you know, left law school so that she can focus on this full time and is planning on getting it back together. And we don't need just one orchestra. You know, imagine 20 orchestras with more and more youth involved in Iraq and Syria. And these are the kinds of things that if we know about them, if we spread the word and if we support them, they grow and flourish instead of just being all we hear about. You know, we're spending $9.5 million a day fighting ISIS. $500,000 would fund the orchestra for an entire season, but she gets no support.
Right.
So that's where, of course, we still need to be, you know, doing the military things, but we also need to be building the next generation, building opportunities to help them get out of that cycle of extremism.
So as an average American, Janessa, coming to the Euphrates sites and hearing these stories and finding out more of what we can do in a really productive way, what are some other recommendations you have as far as whether it's news coverage or whether it's programs or sites or books, for instance? What are some tools out there that you really highly recommend for a typical American?
Well, obviously the best thing is to go there yourself. So that's what I always recommend, because that's what's really life transforming is. So come with me on a trip is what I would encourage everyone to do. And then the next best thing is to bring that, whatever that human dimension is, to community. And so invite speakers or visit a local mosque or a synagogue and, you know, meet people or even watch our videos that have profiles of these inspiring peace builders and visionaries. And, you know, how do we bring context to the news and get that background and get, again, the personal side of things, which is so key. I think, too, that a lot of more and more we're having local groups, they're called chapters, open up. And that's just, you know, any group that wants to get together to become more informed, inspired, and transformed on Middle East issues. And they've read books together or read articles and come together and talk about it and hosting events or doing vigils, you know, whatever that looks like in that community. And we have about 14 now chapters across the U.S. and in Europe, and one in India started by a Muslim and a Hindu, building bridges there and reaching out to their community to inform them about the Middle East. So there's so many ways to get involved, from taking a trip to just taking action in your local area.
Great. And now, Janessa, I know we're running out of time here, but I really want to make sure that we plug on Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve, CBF and the United Religions Initiative, there's going to be an airing. It's going to be a show called May Peace Prevail on Earth, an Interfaith Christmas Special. And again, that's next Thursday, December 24th. And Euphrates is actually featured in the program. So tell us what we can expect to see next Thursday.
Yeah, this is such an amazing opportunity. CBS came to the United Religions Initiative to say, this year we want to do something to talk about how religions are helping each other, not hurting each other. And could you put together an interfaith special for us? And United Religions Initiative said, sure. And URI is just an amazing global grassroots interfaith network. They have over 750 or so cooperation circles across the world. Those are local groups doing important interfaith peace building work. And Euphrates Institute is one of their cooperation circles. They're featuring us and one other cooperation circle in Nigeria as examples of URI's work in interfaith peace building. And it's an hour-long program. You know, I'm sure we only get a few minutes, but it's very exciting nonetheless. And they're going to have a live performance of the Christmas story and different messages of peace from around the world and stories of interfaith cooperation. And it's just going to be sending such a different message and on such a special night as, you know, Christmas, sending a message that peace is already happening. It is possible. Look at all the examples of it's happening across the world. And I think it's just really timely and, you know, really important to get this message out right now in the wake of Paris and San Bernardino. And I think everyone's, you know, thinking about Islam and our Muslim neighbors and what does that mean and how can we get along? And it can just really be a healing balm to all of that.
And so that's next Thursday, again, December 24th. It's going to be on CBS, airing at 11:35. P.M. Eastern Time. So for those of us here on the East Coast, it's 11:35. Or you can go to and watch it online at uri.org/CBS. And so fantastic. I can't wait. To take a look at that. And for anyone listening, to find out more about Janessa and Euphrates, you can go to euphrates.org is the Euphrates website. Any other Any other areas that they want you to, where you'd want people to follow Euphrates, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that, Janessa?
Yeah, absolutely. Facebook and Twitter, and also to sign up for our weekly bulletins. We really work hard. You know, people are like, how do I hear more about these stories? And every week we publish three posts of, you know, informing you and inspiring you of the things going on in the Middle East. And we just really want people to take advantage of that. And so that is a free weekly newsletter that we put out each week, or even just check our homepage for all the new blogs that we're publishing constantly.
Fantastic. And, you know, it's really nice that you have decided to take on a problem so small as the Middle East, Janessa. That's really nice.
Exactly. Eternal optimist.
What's the encore going to be? Once we kind of just, you know, close the book on this one and move on, Janessa, what's the next big problem? It's just world peace.
We're starting with the Middle East, but it's really, the vision is world peace. So we don't start until we get the whole world at peace. All those Miss America pageants, they always say they want world peace, but I really mean it.
Right. It just goes to prove that they're really ahead of the game when it comes to
the beauty.
Well, we'll knock out world peace, Janessa. Then it sounds like you were mentioning global warming. We'll get onto that.
Yeah.
And we'll all be bored here in a few months.
Yeah.
I'll be bored.
Very. Yeah. A few months might be pushing it, but you know, a couple years. Let's do this.
Well, Janessa, thank you so much for your time. I know that you and your family are getting ready for a big trip, and I'm just really, really grateful for you to take this time out and share your thoughts and ideas for the weekly Yap. And much love to you and the family, and I can't wait to have you on again as we talk about how easy it was to solve world peace.
Exactly. Next one will be on climate change. Thank you. And thank you so much for, you know, broadcasting this message. It's such an important time. And, you know, I love Christmas, and I love the idea that this message is going to be spread. So Merry Christmas to you and to anyone listening.
All right. Thank you, Janessa. Merry Christmas to you.
Okay. Bye.
Once again, thank you so much to Janessa Gans Wilder with the Euphrates Institute for taking the time to do that really in a moment's notice. And I want to remind all of you that broadcast, once again, is this Thursday, December 24th on CBS at 11:35 p.m. or online at uri.org/CBS. Make sure you tune in and watch that or listen to that. And also, again, with the holiday season coming up, I want to remind you about two opportunities with Live Yes And. Please follow me at Live Yes And. Subscribe to this podcast if you can, either on iTunes or Podbean. And make sure that you check out the upcoming programs that are going on at the beginning of the year. There's a Yes 101 program starting, I believe that's Monday, January 4th, the first Monday in January. And that's going to be all about you starting off 2016 with purpose and authenticity. It's a lot of fun. That program lasts 30 days. And it's $60 a piece, but for every three people that sign up, your fourth person is free. So you guys can do it in a group and have some fun doing that. I'm also offering a 3-month, 9 1-hour sessions of one-on-one coaching at a discounted 30% rate. So again, if you want to start off the year with a little more specific and accountable and intimate coaching, be in touch with me, whether that's starting a project, getting unstuck, or anything that you're thinking about. Look into some Yes Coaching with me, yours truly. Would love to help you out on that. And once again, everyone, have a merry, merry Christmas. I'd love to hear from you. Be in touch. Email, Twitter, at LiveYesAnd, or Instagram, my Facebook page, or Travis L. Thomas at Mac.com. Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a great Yes And Day.